O Lord, uphold thou me that I may uphold thee, that it may be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We just heard read in the gospel the notion that Satan entered one of the disciples, the betrayer. And I've been preaching for a few years and been going to church for more. And I haven't heard too much said about Satan. We read about it in Scripture. Don't hear much about it in the sermon. Don't hear much about evil. We have become a church, if you remember Norman Vincent Peale, focused on the whole idea of being positive at all times. And generally speaking, that's a good thing. But we got to ask the question, then, why are we here tonight? Why are we here tonight? You would think, after 2,000 years, we'd figure out how to get it right. It is, to my way of thinking, a very important thing that we ask the question in a way we can begin to get an answer. And I'm going to give you my version of the answer. You may not agree. This is not biblical. This is Glenn Drew's reflecting on the Bible, not the same thing. Well, I think one of the reasons we haven't gotten it right is because we like getting it wrong. Now, we don't admit that. In fact, some of us go to great extremes to suggest we're trying to get over it. But there's a certain security in clinging to sin. Because then little is expected. We have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been created in the image of God, male and female. We have been gifted the Holy Spirit. And we are in possession of all we need to get it right. And if we don't, it's a choice we have made collectively and individually. Now, I don't mean to be, I taught English at one point, and one of the required readings was a sermon by a man named Cotton Mather, and it was entitled, this is all you need to know, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I suspect a better title, a more truthful title, would have been Sinners in the Hands of a Devastated God. Sinners in the Hands of a God whose love has been rejected by the sinners. Sinners in the Hands of a God who gave His Son to enlighten us and show us the way, and who ultimately was put to death. Now, I don't want to be too negative about this. It's not in keeping with the season. In fact, we're working up to Easter. But I do hope between now and the first celebration of Holy Eucharist for the new Easter, that there is a time when you can find yourselves at the bottom. We had a one-day contemplative prayer workshop. And one of my comments that I made there, I want to repeat in this context. This is not something we're going to think our way into. It's time to get in touch with your feelings. It's time to go deeper. It's time to get past words. It's time to get in touch with the universe. It's time to recognize that the universe is constructed in a way that everything moves in harmony, and when we choose to be out of harmony, well, results speak for themselves. We're seeing it play out in the Ukraine right now. We needn't look that far to find examples. I think every year I open up, I take a magazine, The Living Church, I don't know how many you take it, and every year they do a year-end summary of the statistics for the Episcopal Church. And in my lifetime, that I can read at least, every year, it's been a downward trend. So we are quickly becoming the faithful few. And I want to suggest that the way for us to get past this grip which holds us, this our own investment in not doing as well as we might, because then our responsibility is limited. And I would suggest that the way to get past this is to line ourselves up with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, how do you do that? Well, my friends, you shut up. You get quiet. You get really still. You do not shut the world out, but rather you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. And taking that relationship then, and the knowledge of that relationship, I believe we, each of us, need to step out. You know, it used to be the dreaded word in the church was the G word, yay. Well, now the dreaded word, and it was before the G word, is in the Episcopal Church, is E, evangelism. If we do anything badly, it's evangelism. In fact, I had people tell me that one of the reasons they came to the Episcopal Church was to avoid it. Not much of a testimony. But here we have it. If you read Mark, you will find in Mark 14, chapter 27, that not only does Judas betray Jesus, but Jesus tells his disciples, you all will become deserters. All of you. And yet he's sitting down and having dinner with them. The harsh reality is the only folks who can recruit to do the work of God are people who are less than perfect. And yet each one of them was created in perfection. It is not something we do not know. So I ask you, follow the story. be devastated. And rejoice on Easter in a way in which you engage the gift of the Holy Spirit within. And have that then become ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would like to think that, unlike the disciples, we would stand with Jesus, your Son, whom we call our Savior. Wipe from our minds the sure and facile answers, and put us in touch with the gift you have given us, each one of us, your Spirit. In such measure that we in fact can answer truthfully, not me, Lord, because, Lord, it is I who will follow. Hear our prayer, O Father, and that